It is good to see you today. It is good that we have some visitors. We always welcome our visitors and those who are frequent visitors. It's good to see you again. Those who are just visiting even a time or two, it's always good to see you. And we encourage each of you to come back when you can. I want you to take your Bibles this evening or this morning and turn to Job chapter 13, verses 13 through 15. Job chapter 13, verses 13 through 15. Job was one who was afflicted, who suffered greatly in his life. And he said some words which are fitting for the topic which we have chosen this morning. He says, "Hold your peace, let me alone, that I may speak, and let come on me what will. Wherefore do I take my flesh in my teeth and put my life in mine hand? Though he slay me, yet will I trust him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him." This morning we have chosen to discuss the topic of some who are serious about serving God. We often ask ourselves a question: why can't we get our neighbors interested in the Lord and his church? There are those in this very community upon whom we have called several times, those we have invited, that we've encouraged to come to services, and it is a mystery to us as to why they won't come. We have friends, we have family, that we have continually said, "Hey, why don't you come to services with us?" hoping that they might do so. And yet, alas, they don't. But we might ask ourselves, how much real interest do we show in being a Christian? You know, it's easy sometimes when you're looking out at other folks and say, I don't understand why they don't want to come. I don't understand why they don't want to participate. I don't understand why they'd want to be involved. And we need to look upon ourselves, examine ourselves, question ourselves, and say, how much real interest do we show? Are we just going through the motions? Do we really have enough interest to put time and effort into attending services? We might ask ourselves that the question. The best time to ask ourselves that question is after we have missed the evening service, or after we have missed a Wednesday night service, or after we have missed a Sunday service. Say, am I putting forth enough real interest to go to services? What about studying? Oftentimes we want to use the excuse that I don't have time to study. This morning I want to submit to you that you don't have time not to study, because it is the Word of God. It is that which will guide you from this earth to heaven, to be with Him. Do we have enough real interest to really want to work in the kingdom? Oh, we might very well rally around occasionally and decide to go out and hand out a few flyers and say, "Hey, we're having a gospel meeting, or we're having this, or we're having that. Why don't you come?" And then we pat ourselves on the back and say, "We've worked. We've done a lot." But do we really show enough interest to work in the kingdom? The song we just sang, "I want to be a worker for the Lord." How many of us really want to? Do we show enough real interest to really sacrifice money? Oh, it's terrible sometimes when we have to contemplate how much we're going to give the Lord. That's the attitude a lot of people have. When you're serious about serving the Lord, that's never a question. I remember that when Linda and I were dating, she told me that there were some things that she had to tell me before we got married. The first of which was that I give. And if that's going to be a problem, I want to know it right now. I said, "No, it's not a problem." And it never has been. And when we didn't have money for groceries, the offering was always put first. Do we really put forth enough interest that friendships could be severed? There are those, speaking about attendance earlier, that when friends come, they stay home. "Oh, I have to entertain the friends. I have to entertain the family." I maybe don't have very many friends. I don't have a lot of family that visits with me. But when they come, it will be understood that upon Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday, if you are at my house and it's time to leave for services, you will not be left at my house. If so, you can get you a motel room and visit, because you will not be in my house and not come and worship and serve God. Do I care about their friendship? Yes, I do. Do I love them because they are my family? Yes, I do. But I love them enough that I put forth before them the example, and I do so because I'm serious about serving God. Do we have enough interest in serving God that we worry about popularity? There are many people, we're going to get to some of the examples in the Bible here shortly, about those who didn't worry about popularity. What are my friends going to think of me? They were serious. Do we really have enough interest? Are we serious enough about serving God that we put Christianity first? Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." That should define it forever. Do we put Christianity first, or does the show take precedence? But that's the only time I can go and see it. Or a ball game. Well, you know, they're not going to play that ball game again. It's going to be on Wednesday night. Or the Super Bowl. It only happens once a year. I'm just going to stay home and watch it. What are you putting first then? How serious are you? What about a vacation? I know folks, and I know for a fact that when some folks go on vacation, they go on vacation from religion. Oh, they might not do bad things or whatever like that, but hey, you know, it's one time a year I get a chance to take my family, load up, and go to wherever. And they take no thought whatsoever about attending services. Years ago, and I have experienced this, it's been so that you could go and get to a place, a town, pick a town, any town, USA, pretty much. Flip open the phone book and say, okay, XYZ, Church of Christ, all right, found a place to worship. Don't try that today. What you might find might not be acceptable worship, and if it's not acceptable worship, it's vain worship. What about a job? I applaud people who say, I won't take such and such a job because it keeps me from the services. Why? Because they're serious about serving God. Too many people are serious about salvation and not about service. I want the reward at the end. And I want it now. And I want it because I want it. And I really don't want to have to do anything to get it. They want a crown and not a cross. We've got to be serious. How many people do you know who are serious about serving God as some Bible characters were? I'm going to bring us through the Bible. We're going to look at several characters and see some things about them. The first of which, of course, is Job. Job was serious about serving God. What did he say in verse 15? Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. But I will maintain mine own ways before him. Now, mine own ways there did not mean I won't do what I want to do regardless of what God wants. His ways were those ways which he understood are to be the ways of God. In James chapter 5 and verse 11, we see, as he mentions Job, he talks about the patience of Job. And if Job is not known for anything else, it's known for patience. But I submit this morning that he is also named or known because he is serious or was serious about serving God. James 5:11 says, "Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." What we had happening there was Job's friends coming. They saw him in his state that he was in, covered from head to toe with boils, in misery, in agony, to the point, and they were devastated also from the standpoint that they did not say anything for 7 days. But when they began to talk, they said, "Job, what have you done? What have you done? You have had to have done something in order to lose your family, to lose your property, to lose all your animals, your servants, all of the things that you had gotten. But Job still trusted in the Lord. He suffered great personal pain, loss, and sickness, but he still trusted in the Lord. Look at Job chapter 2 and verse 7 beginning. We're going to read through verse 9. We know, after having read the book of Job and various chapters within, how these things came upon him. But we see here, so Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. Oh, Satan was challenging God. Have you considered your servant Job? Why, you built a hedge around him. You have protected him. You have kept him from harm. Why, you just let down that hedge. You let some things happen to him. Why, he'll curse you to your face. Did he? No, he didn't. God said, okay, take what he has, do what you will, but don't touch him. After that, Satan says, why, you know, that just wasn't enough. If we are able to afflict him, why, he'll give it up. God says, okay, but don't kill him. And so he afflicted him. Verse 8 tells us, and he took him potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Notice what verse 9 says. Then his wife said unto him, dost thou retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. Get it over with. You've done something. I don't know what it is, but just curse God. Die. Get it over with. Did he? He was chided by his friends. Even his wife. Still, he trusted the Lord. Why? Because he was serious about serving God. Let's fast forward a little bit. Moses was serious about serving God. We'll see this in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 through 26. The honor roll of the faithful. Moses was faithful. It tells us there in verse 24, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He was willing to give up the privileges of being a grandson of the Pharaoh. The top education, all the money that he needed, all of the goods of this world that were his for his use. He was willing to give up all the wealth of Egypt for God. Why? Well, he was serious about serving God. Well, he had to be prodded along a little bit. God spoke to him and said, I want you to go back to Egypt. Oh, I can't do that. People are looking for me there. Oh, go on back. I'll take care of it. Well, I can't talk. I can't teach people. I can't get up in front of people and make a speech. I'll take care of that too. You remember your brother Aaron that you left back there in Egypt? Go get him. I'll let him be the mouthpiece for you. Once Moses got started, he was serious. And he warned Pharaoh, and he warned the people, and he told them, these things are going to fall upon you unless you do what God says. And that command was very simple, let my people go. Finally, at great cost, Pharaoh did what Moses was asking, that God had sent Moses to do. But Moses was serious, and he continued to lead the people up to the promised land. In Psalms chapter 19 or 119, verses 9 through 16, we see that David also was serious about serving God. He asked a series of questions. He makes some statements. We all should commit this particular passage to memory. He says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? That's a question. It's a good question. Young men today need to ask themselves that question. How can we cleanse ourselves? He answers the question also by taking heed thereunto according to thy word. He says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Verse 11 shows us how serious he was. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Oftentimes when David is brought up, people want to point out, you know what, he did sin. Well, show me one person in the Bible who did not. Oh, I'm sorry, there is one. It's Christ. But all of humanity, with the exception of Jesus Christ, came to the earth. All of them came the same way except for Adam and Eve, that we were born here. And we have all sinned. David didn't want to sin. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. He used the same thing that Christ used when he was tempted. Christ said three times, it is written. David is saying here, I have hidden thy word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. That's the purpose why he went to the word. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. But David sinned. Yes, he did. In 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 13, he confessed when he did sin. He knew that he sinned. David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Of course, David knew at some point that he would die. He knew that he was a mortal man. But notice what we know about David. He was called a man after God's own heart. Why? Because he was serious about serving God. In Psalms chapter 32, verses 1 through 5, we see that he also confessed. He said, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. So must we also confess our faults. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 through 9, we see the passages John wrote as directed by the Spirit to those Christians in that day, but it also applies to us. It says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And this does not mean going to a man somewhere and sitting down and telling him what you have done. That's not what confession is or what it's being spoken of here. We take them before God. Why? Because we have an advocate. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, we see it in this particular portion of the letter. He calls them my little children. These things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. It was Jesus Christ who shed his blood upon the cross of Calvary. It is only that blood which has the power to absolve sin. You know, there are folks who commit crimes and they hope they get by with it long enough. Because in our country and in other countries, there's a statute of limitations. I noticed reading something here recently that there's no statute of limitations against murder. But with God, there's no statute of limitations against sin. If you don't repent, if you don't seek his forgiveness, it's still held against you. David didn't want to do that. He was serious about serving God. We too need to be serious about serving God. Let's go to Daniel. In Daniel chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. His character was so pure that these people could not find anything against him. Oh, I wish that we could all say that today. Then the presidents and princes sought to find accusation against Daniel concerning the kingdom, for they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. They examined him. They watched him. And they said, we've got to find something whereby we might accuse him. He's making us look bad. Why? Because he was serious about serving God. What did it do? Look at verse 5. Then said these wise men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Well, what did he do? His conviction was so strong, he was willing to face the lion's den or any other form of punishment that was offered up, rather than to forsake the law of God. That's serious. Look in verse 10. They saw to it that a commandment was made in that kingdom, whereby if anybody bowed down before anyone other than the king, they would be cast into the lion's den. So what did Daniel do? He sneaked away. He found him a dark place in his room. He bowed down. He said his little prayers and he got up and went back to work. No, that's not what Daniel did. Now, when Daniel knew what the writing was signed, he went into his house and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled down upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Why? Because Daniel was serious about serving God. Why, he didn't care what the king thought. He didn't care about what these princes and presidents thought. He didn't care what anybody thought, because he knew it was right to serve God, to pray to him, to do these things. It's real interesting how that this story reads, how it plays out. Daniel was cast in. He didn't fear. The king was dreading it because he was fond of Daniel. After the appropriate amount of time had passed, the king went. He called out to Daniel, showed that he had some faith in what Daniel had said. And Daniel was taken out of the lion's den unharmed. Now, these lions were not those that were fed on a regular basis. These were those that would jump on a group of people. And we know this because those princes and presidents who had caused this to happen now had the wrath of the king against them. And when they were tossed in, it was chop, chop. They jumped on them, they ate them up, and their families. Smorgasbord. But Daniel was unharmed. Why? He was serious about serving God. John the Baptizer. As we get closer and closer to New Testament times, we find that he was willing to preach under adverse conditions. There are those today that want to be preachers, but they want everything to be perfect. They don't want any altercations with people. They don't want any to have to contend. Things get a little rough. They get a little gone. Not John. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 4. He didn't have the creature comforts that we have. If our air conditioner was to tear up, and it's starting to get a little warm, I stay warm, don't worry about me, even when the air conditioner's on. But if our air conditioner was to go out, there would be some folks who say it's too hot. If it was to get stuck on 70 degrees, there'd be some folks who say it's too cold. Did John worry about any of that? Matthew 3, 4 says, and the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locust and wild honey. He was roughing it. But what was he doing? Well, he was preaching and teaching the kingdom. He was serious about serving God. He had been brought here for that very purpose. He was unwilling to wink at sin, even in the king, the most powerful person in the area. Matthew chapter 14, verses 3 through 4. We see the words of John and caused him to be cast into the prison. We see that the foolishness of the king caused a situation whereby he had to lop off John's head. But did John stop preaching? Not until his head was severed from his body. It said, for Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John had said unto him, it is not lawful for thee to have her. Friends, the law of God applies to everybody. And John was willing, even in adverse situations and conditions, even at the threat of losing his life, he was serious enough about it that he continued to preach and teach what God had sent him to teach. Paul was serious about serving God. He was willing to give up everything gained in Judaism for Christ. We see this in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 8. He said to them, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." Notice, if you will, as we consider the seriousness of Paul when it comes to serving God, what he had in Judaism. He had a position. He was well thought of. He had been well schooled, educated. But he gave it all up. He gave it all up, and he was willing to sacrifice for the good of the cause. Why? Because he was serious. How serious was he? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 through 23. He was really willing to sacrifice his own personal liberties for the cause of Christ. "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself a servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews became I as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you." Paul was serious. He knew the rewards, but he also knew that others could partake of that reward with him. Well, he was willing to arrange his schedule to fit the Lord's schedule. In Acts chapter 20, verses 6 and 7, and also verse 16, we'll see this. How many of us are serious enough today to change our schedule to serve the Lord? Acts chapter 20 and verse 6 says, "And we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came into Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. Why? Well, there was a reason. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart unto the morrow." He stayed there long enough to communicate to them the word of God. Why? Because he was serious about serving God. Verse 16, Acts chapter 20. "For Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus, because he would not spend time in Asia, for he hasted, if it were possible to him, to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost." What? He had no business in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. He wasn't any longer serving under the Jewish law. Oh, but look at all of the souls that would be gathered there that had an interest in God, that wanted to do what God would have them do, who hadn't been instructed properly in the ways of the Lord. A door of opportunity was open for him. He was serious, as were all of these folks that we have communicated about today. Now, let's bring this into the 21st century. Don't you think it's time that we become serious about serving God? Don't you think it's time to quit dabbling in religion and get serious? It's not a hobby. It's not something you can do a little bit on the weekend and then set aside. It's something that is to permeate our entire existence, our life. Don't you think it's time that we put the Lord above everything and above everybody else? I think it's high time that we do so. And I don't mean just as individuals. I mean also as a group. In Luke chapter 14 and verse 33, we'll see the words of Jesus Christ regarding this. "There were those who were the disciples of the Lord until things got hard. There were those who were disciples of the Lord until he said some things that were hard to understand or some hard to receive. And they decided, okay, I'm not going to go follow him anymore." They turned back. Jesus said, "So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." How serious are you? Are you willing to give up anything and everything in order to go to heaven? Friends, we need to understand that there was one who came and gave up everything so that you might can go to heaven. What does he want us to do? The first thing we have to do in regarding being serious is to become a child of God. And then we have to remain faithful, and we have to continue to strive to work in the kingdom, to build up our brothers and sisters, to encourage them, to rebuke them, which is not easy to do at times. To be rebuked, which is not easy to receive at times. But we have to be serious about serving God. What does he tell us to do in his word? In Romans chapter 10 and verse 14, we are to hear the word of God. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? We see in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 that one must believe. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Are we serious enough to diligently seek him? We see also, according to Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, that we are to repent. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. If you're going to be serious about serving God, you're going to hear, you're going to believe, you're going to repent. And then you're going to continue to do those things that God has put forth in his word. Another one is to confess before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then, if we're serious, we'll be willing to be baptized. Friends, you cannot just do part of these. You have to do all of them. Because in baptism is where you contact the blood of Christ and have your sins remitted. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. When the question was asked, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And then we must be faithful until death. There are so many passages to talk about this. One of my favorites is Revelation 2:10. The latter part of it says, and be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Do you want the crown? Are you willing to work for it? One of the first things that you must do is to be obedient. Become a child of God. What if you have not been an obedient child of God? If you've become obedient, you have become a child of God, but you've not remained so. You've not been serious about serving God. Well, let me tell you about the most serious situation that there is. To stand before God, the judgment bar, and to hear, depart from me. Those who have not been faithful need to repent and pray. Just as Acts chapter 8 and verse 22 as Simon was directed, repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Don't leave here today without showing how serious you are about serving God, about doing his will, about remaining faithful to him. How serious you are about receiving the crown of life. If you need to respond, won't you do so as together we stand and sing the invitation song.